Lord, we just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for being our God. We thank you, Father, for the love that you've shown us to draw us nigh unto you, Lord, and grant repentance to us, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the love that you've placed in our hearts for our fellow man, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we're running on your love, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, that that love has been placed in our hearts, and it has enlarged our heart tremendously because of it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you've placed in our hearts a love for the Word too, Lord. That we take that love and we renew our minds with that Word, Lord, so we'll know how you were, and we can walk like you told us how to walk, Lord. You showed us how to walk this life that you have given us, Father. And I thank you for it, Lord. I'm looking forward, Lord, to this great revival that's headed up here towards us, Lord. I am so looking forward to it. You know, Lord, I've been listening to that song, We Call Out Dry Bones, Come Alive, Come Alive. And Lord, that's what we do. We're calling out to those dry bones to come alive in our family and our friends and those people that we've been praying for so many years, Lord, that army would come out of those dead ashes and the flesh would come on their bones, Father, and come alive in you, Lord. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for your presence tonight and your anointing tonight on each one of us, Father, as we share the glories that you've given us these last few days, Father. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for blessing our fellowship tonight. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, all right. Let's see. Has anybody got anything they'd like to pray about tonight?
Yes, I do, Michael.
Okay, Wade, go ahead, brother.
My wife has a lump in her thigh, on inward part of her thigh, and we're praying that it won't have to go. We won't have to go to the hospital with it, but so we want prayer that it go away. We don't want.
What
try
is
not
it,
to
Wade?
Go to the doctor. Huh?
What is it? What is it?
A lump, a large lump, lump on the inside of her thigh, in the flesh.
Okay. All right. Well, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your word. Father, your word says that by Jesus' stripes 2,000 years ago, that we were healed.
Amen.
We were healed when you went to the cross, Father. And you told us in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, that you've given us authority over all the power of the enemy.
Amen.
And Father, you also told us in Mark 11 and 24 that when we pray and we believe what we pray, that we shall have it. And in the name of Jesus right now, I command that lump to dissolve in the name of Jesus. And Father, I ask and I pray that you give Jeanette and Wade bold faith to believe what your promises say, Lord, and that they won't speak out that it's a lump in her side. Now they're going to say, no, it ain't no lump there, because it says in the Word of God that she was healed. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Jeanette, you believe that thing is gone?
It's gone.
Amen. All right. Praise God. Thank you, Father, that that lump is no longer there in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Okay, anybody else want prayer or would like to pray?
Yeah, we've got a situation going on here, Michael.
Okay, go ahead.
It's regarding a... well, there's a fire south of the town that we're north of. It's about 20 miles south of there. But the wind is incredibly intense, blowing very hard toward, it's along this river, and it's visible for a long, long ways away. They've got at least two planes on it right now, but the wind is so wild, it's just the smoke's starting to turn really dark, which means it's getting a lot of pitch burning. So I just I'm just praying for that town for quite a while, and you know, I believe there are many elect there.
Okay, why don't you pray, Malcolm, and we'll believe with you, brother. And
okay,
that we can turn that, we can shut that thing down.
Amen.
Lord, Kev.
Yeah. Lord, thank you so much for the people that you have here, your elect. And I know you're going to be making arrangements to bring a tremendous revival, not revival, but your presence. I guess revival is when something that was already there has been and died away is revived back again. Anyway, that's what I kind of said, not a revival. But yes, Lord, your work here, I just thank you for what you have in mind for this area. And, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will, you know what's going on? With the fire and the high winds, you're in control of all those things. And I just thank you that this is no threat to your people, that they will, that you will preserve person and their animals too, Lord. It is of your elect. Come against that fire right now and command the wind to stop. And it will proceed no further. Thank you for safety for the firefighters, safety for the people that are piloting the planes and dipping into the river to get the water. Thank you so much, Lord, for your power and your authority. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for your rain that's coming to that place. In
amen.
Jesus' name, thank you, Father, for a drenching rain that's going to put it out in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Everybody believe that?
Amen.
I believe that fire is history, brother.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Anything else? Anybody else got anything they'd like to pray or would like to pray about?
Michael, hi. This is Patricia.
Yeah.
And I do, you know, I think maybe you may already know, you know, that I'm getting ready to move to your area, and I have just put my house on the market myself. I just put the sign out in front of my house Monday, and so I'm going to do it by owner, and I just want the Lord to, and I'm sure that David's already prayed, and if you haven't, then, but I guess I just, you know, feel anytime I can get prayer, I want it again, you know. But I would like to make sure that there's no obstacles to prevent my house from selling, and that it will be done soon, not, you know, if it be the Lord's will, that it be done soon. And I have to believe that it is his will, because I think I'm supposed to come there. So can we agree again if you, or just pray in general, you know, because I do have faith, you know, that the Lord is going to do it. But, you know.
Okay. You want to pray? You want me to?
Would you pray?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Lord, we lift up Patricia's to you, Lord, and we thank you that you have told her to move here. And, Father, now that you have told her to come here, Father, we ask that you you sell her house very quickly, within the next few days, Father. And we thank you that you're going to do that. And, Lord, we just praise you and give you honor and glory for doing this for Patricia so she could get on over here in Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because we believe you're going to do that. And, Lord, we thank you that you're going to have Patricia looking for those people to come to the door in Jesus' name, because your word is true. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord. name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Praise you, Lord.
All right. Anybody else want to pray? Would like to pray?
I would like prayer.
Okay.
This is Angelica from Texas. I just want prayer for my son. Been struggling with him in school, some rebellion, as well as, past diagnosis of ADHD, possibly some just some mute spirits. But I've been standing in faith for quite a while on this, and I'm just in a very, I'm in a place of weakness. But I know that's the best place to be because the Lord can certainly move on my son and provide a miracle. So I just would like you to pray.
Okay. All right. Hang on here just a minute. Let me get caught up on my writing. All right. Well, Lord, we lift up our son, Angelica's son, to you. And Father, we just thank you that we can pray and we can command those things that are driving him to come from him. And Lord, it's going to be done. In the name of Jesus right now, I command that ADHD demon off of him right now in Jesus' name. That spirit of rebellion, you go in the name of Jesus. And any other kind of spirit that hindering him and sidetracking him from the word of God, I command you to go right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that we're going to see results immediately.
Yeah.
Father, because you're a loving God and you love us. And we thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers. We just praise you, Father, for answering our prayers. And we thank you, Father, since she's got a new son. Praise you, Lord. Glory.
Thank
hallelujah.
You.
Thank you, Father. Everybody believe that?
Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And Lord, I want to add to her, to his prayer for Angelica, because I had a son with ADHD. And Lord, I ask you for Angelica that her son would not enter into a circle of friends that would influence him in a wrong way, but Lord, that you would provide angels to create a path for him that would give him a way that would take him from anything that would cause him to be guided in trying to be accepted by others or trying to assert himself and the things that come on teenagers or just do, Lord, that which is necessary to keep him safe, Lord, from all temptation and from all those who would try to influence him and that he would try to gain their favor, Lord. But just, Lord, give him your counsel and send your angels, Lord, by way of people into his life to give him your protection, Lord, and to give him, Lord, the words of life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else?
Hey, Michael.
Yeah, Matt. Go ahead, brother.
If you would, I'm asking for a prayer for strength and energy. My work is having me work 50-plus hours a week, the past couple of weeks, so my body's just really exhausted.
Okay. All right. Well, Father, we lift up Matt to you, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, that we can come to you, Father, in these times that we need. He's kind of weak now. And, Lord, we just ask that you supernaturally infuse him with your strength and your energy to see his work done and to come home and to be a husband and be able to do everything for Anna and the baby that's coming. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that he's not sleepy anymore, that he's not tired anymore in Jesus' name. Father, we just thank you that you infused him with your supernatural energy in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. Thank you for answering this prayer for Matt in Jesus' name. Do you believe that, Matt?
Amen.
Amen, brother. Man, you'll be bouncing off the walls here directly. Amen. All right, anybody else? What about a testimony or a praise report? Anybody got that?
Hey, Michael?
Yeah, Tim, go ahead, brother.
Well, this might help Malcolm out a little, too. There's some fires in the town I grew up in over the weekend. And the first we heard of it, we got a text from my cousin and said that there was a fire down where my mom used to live. And that five houses have been damaged. And we need to know the people around there. And there's only about 10 houses in the area. And so we prayed for it as a family. And they'd all be fine and everything would be good. And we brought up the news and saw some videos and recognized the area and the whole place looked like it was burning up and pretty much was, I guess. And then after we prayed about it, we kind of rested. And then last night, I got a text from my cousin that said, in reality, that no houses had been suffered any damage and just one outbuilding in a 1,000-acre fire. So hang in there, Malcolm. I think everything's going to be fine.
Brother?
Hey. Amen. What's that, Malcolm?
I said, thank you, brother, but my microphone was way off yonder.
Okay. All right. Yes, Lord, thank you, Father, for putting that fire out before it hurt anybody or hit anything.
It's pretty wild here. You got this, it's just, it's kind of dark and the wind is just really going. It is fun, Tim.
Amen. But we're going to rest in the Lord because we know he's taking care of business, don't we?
Amen.
He's taking care of business. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael, I have a praise report.
Okay, Bill, go ahead, brother.
Well, it's nothing really specific except we got 100-degree weather here. Today was 99. I think it reached 100. Tomorrow's supposed to be 100. And every morning I get up and I just have this little routine with the Lord. I put him first. And I just said, Lord, you know, when I look at the weather forecast, it's basically the only time I watch TV and it's off the rest of the day. But I said, Lord, I just smile when I see those numbers, you know, where in the past I would murmur or complain and say, oh, God, you know. It's not like that anymore. I say, Lord, I thank you. Trust that you'll help me get through the day just fine and even with exceeding joy. And he's been doing it. I mean, this is stuff that I can't just muster up myself, you know, and the strength and energy as if it was a day of like 72 degrees. It's just wonderful. I mean, I trust him that much. And I just want to praise God for all his goodness that he takes excellent, excellent care of me in every regard, in every area of my life. And I just praise him because he's worthy to be praised. There's no one like him. There never will be. And I just love him. I love his word. I'm in love with the Lord Jesus more than ever. I have joy exceeding where I could just scream right now of joy, but I don't want to blast everybody's ear. But I just want to praise God because he's just so, so good. And that's all I wanted to say.
Amen. He is so good. You know, and he loves us. Gosh, he loves us so much. You know, we can't really fathom the God that created us for love out of him. That's what it is. It's the love that he's given us. He created us for love. What do we do with it a lot of times? We just chalk it out the door. But, you know, he's bringing us around. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else?
I was just going to say, when talking about those fires and everything, that scripture came to me that with the shield of faith, we quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one.
All right, that's a good one. Vanessa, thank you.
Uh-huh, sure.
Amen.
So thank you, Father, for that.
Yes, Lord.
And I also was thinking, when he was just talking about the temperature being so hot, it's been really hot here. And the last couple of days haven't been as bad, but it was been really hot. And I step outside and it's like, oh, how can I even take this? And then I thought about the scripture that says that the sun will not smite you by day. And so I would just pray that, you know, that would happen, that I could just be out in the sun and it's not going to affect me. And so that started to happen. I'd be sitting out there and it wasn't as bad then. And Mary one time looked out there and he said, I can't believe you're sitting out there. But anyway, thank you, Father, because you're true to your word.
Well, I guess I better unmute myself. I was sitting there talking. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Yep, we can do that. We can pray. Just like Bill was talking about and you're talking about, that the sun would not affect us. It has been affecting a lot of people around here. The chemtrails and all that stuff have been affecting the coughing and hacking and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, we pray against it. And we pray protection upon ourselves, and it won't affect us. Praise God.
Thank you, Father.
Anybody else? Anybody else got a testimony or a praise report or would like to pray about something? Or a word from the Lord?
Hey, Michael?
Yeah, Matt?
I got a word from the Lord. He just kind of showed me something, so I'd like to share it with you all.
Go right ahead, brother.
I'm in Matthew chapter 7, and Jesus was telling about the you know, the wise man and the foolish man who built their houses. And he said, who built his house upon the rock? And I was thinking about it, and the Lord brought to my attention, you know, the house means, you know, rest, and it's where we dwell, it's where we eat, it's where we live, it's where we sleep, it's everything. So it's like everything, we establish our life upon Jesus. And then I kept on reading, and then it said, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew. And the Lord kind of showed me that the floods came and the winds blew was more of trials and temptations that we go through. And if we're standing on that rock, we won't be moved. And then, you know, I continued reading, and then the foolish man who built his house upon the sand, you know, built his, you know, life, his rest, his spiritual food, his dwelling with the world. And then the trials and temptations came and it didn't stand. So that's what the Lord, you know, kind of showed me. So I wanted to share that with y'all. Thank you.
Amen. That's good. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that we're building our house on the firm foundation of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anyone else?
Hey, man, this is Tracy. You know, I just got to give the Lord some glory here that we've been seeing, getting good testimonies and just seeing good miracles, you know, and in our ministry too. So there's a man that was set free from addiction for, I think he said, 37 years the other night. So glory to God, you know, and just deliverance and healing. It's awesome, you know, praise God. So just wanted to give glory to God. And if you could pray for that ministry, Keys to the Kingdom Fellowship. So thanks, guys.
Okay. Kingdom Fellowship, you say?
Yeah, it's Keys to the Kingdom Ministries.
Okay. All right. Well, Father, we just lift up that ministry to you, Lord, and we thank you that you're utilizing it in a mighty way, Lord, that you're, you know, when we pray, Father, and we pray for signs and wonders to follow us and your healing power be with us, Lord, people get saved. And you know that, and you've already got us acclimated to that, Father. And we thank you that there's going to be a mighty, mighty move of God down there. And we praise you, Father, for lifting them up. And, Lord, we just ask that you keep them on the path of truth and righteousness, and that you keep them up on that high road, Lord. And, Lord, if they get to swing or going somewhere other direction other than where you want them, Lord, I ask that you correct them in Jesus' name. But, Lord, I just thank you for the great and mighty work that you're doing through those that ministry in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. I touch and agree. Thank you. God bless you guys.
Amen. You too. Glory to God. That's good. Yes, Lord. You know, when we love the Lord and we love the truth, no matter what it costs, God's going to utilize people in a mighty, mighty way. It's you know, what God wants over and above anything else is our love for him. And every one of us knows what that love is. That's obedience to his word. That's what he wants. He loves that. He loved for us to obey him. He says obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, we call our praises and our worship time, that's all good. But it's not the top of the list. The top of the list is that love that he's looking for, that obedience from him. So we just praise God that he's infusing that love in each one of us through the word of God. And we praise you, Father, that you're doing that in all of us. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody else got something they'd like to share? Albert, you got anything you'd like to share with us, brother?
Sure. What do you think? We're blessed. I'll tell you what, Michael. We're just being really blessed. I've been working a lot, and that's been a struggle. But God using me at work. Got some people that I've been able to minister to and share the word with, and we got a little house group to get together every Sunday, and we love each other, and we love the Lord, and that's going really well. Everybody's reading material from, you know, David's put out. I'm actually reading this book right now, Speak Grace. Grace, Not Condemnation, man. It's really powerful. Just when you think you're doing good. Anyway. But I really appreciate ministry. I've been doing a lot of repenting while I'm reading it. You know, sometimes I can give you a testimony. You know, sometimes you minister to people, and you know, over the years, I've ministered to a few people, and I think back on it, and maybe my heart wasn't in the right place. You know, got to be very careful how we treat God's people, and make sure we never judge them. You know, they share their struggles with us, and you know, and it's a very blessed place to be, to be able to you know, speak the word into their life and give them grace, and speak faith, and try to impute faith into their life, you know, so they can receive God's grace. So, you know, I think back on some of the people that maybe I didn't do that, you know, and I had to repent of that. You know, I got frustrated, or I got worn down, you know, and I didn't maybe act in or listen to the Spirit, and I maybe was in the flesh a little bit. So I've been doing some repenting, and that's good. You know, God cleaning us up, getting us ready. It's been blessed, brother. I'm waiting for my nephew. He's supposed to call in one of these weeks. I know he's very busy with work and everything. He's also, he's doing really well. He's since we prayed for him a couple months ago, he's, you know, he's on fire for God, and he's in the Word, and he's doing really good. I want him to share some of his testimony. He's got some really cool things God has done for him. One of them I can kind of share with you. He was telling me he's not very good with his money right now. He's, you know, been praying to God to help him be better with money, you know, a better steward of the grace that God has given him for a good job and have a little bit of money in his pocket. So he was down to not much money left, and his company needed him to drive. I don't remember exactly where he is, but he was driving from where he lives to Miami a couple of days in a row, and he was thinking he didn't even have enough money left in his account to pay for the gas in his vehicle to get back and forth to work. But he knew. He said, "What am I worrying about? You know, God's always supplied all my needs. You know, and he'll continue to do that." So he stopped worrying about it, and the company called him. They wanted him to. He had to stop in Fort Lauderdale to sign some papers before he went on to Miami. And so he stopped in Fort Lauderdale, and when he got to Fort Lauderdale, they gave him keys to a company truck and a gas card. So he didn't have to worry about the gas in his truck anymore. And then before he left, they actually gave him a raise. They told him he would be getting a raise. So God just blessed him, you know, for having faith that he would supply all his needs, and he surely does. So amen for that, right? Great testimony.
Amen. God can do it, man. That is awesome. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, you can. God bless you all.
Yeah, thank you, Albert. God bless you. Didn't mean to put you on the spot, but I figured you had something. All right.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Mike.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Anybody else? I'll tell you, living with David puts you on the edge. I can tell you that for a fact. He drives a little old Ford Ranger, and he fills up when he feels like it. It's not when he needs gas. He just fills up when he feels like it. And I've learned to ask him, has he got any gas in his truck before I get in the truck with him. But, you know, I've learned over the last 4 years that I don't worry about it anymore. I just get in there and we go. And if there's no gas in it, it don't make any difference. God's going to get us there and back. And he's done it a couple of times already. So that's what he's taught me, being around him. He just doesn't worry about that kind of stuff. You know, like me, I like to keep mine on half a tank all the time. But David lets it go down on empty. It'll stay on empty for 2 or 3 days before he'll fill it up. But anyway, that's just that's how the Lord's doing it. Getting my faith where it needs to be as well. All right. Anybody else?
Well, I wanted to ask, did you get the email I sent you about the article of the fulfillment of the Dead Sea Prophecy?
Oh, yeah. That was real interesting. Yeah, that's what the Word says is going to happen.
I was just blown away by that. And it's also a prophet from Prophet Zechariah and Ezekiel, both prophesied this, and there's fish. I mean, well, the article says that the level of the Dead Sea has been dropping a really fast rate, about, you know, 1 meter every year. And what's happening is they're seeing these little sinkholes at the bottom, and they're finding fresh water and fish and plants. Now, the Dead Sea is hypersaline. That's just saltier than the oceans, where nothing can live, but yet there's life there, and this is proof of Jesus soon coming, because it's one of the prophecies that before he comes, this is one of the things that's going to happen. And I just find this very, very fascinating, and they got proof, they got videos. I mean, if you click on the links in the videos, you can see the woman sitting there the fish. I mean, this is just unbelievable, yet it's believable because it's God. But I just found it so fascinating. You know, I didn't know if you guys had talked about this last week because I was off Thursday. My phone minutes ran out. But I wanted to bring this up because this is a prophecy being fulfilled right now in our time.
Yes, it is. And that was very interesting. Yeah, David and I both looked at it. And if y'all want to, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll put the link and send everybody an email on the conference call. You can look at it. It's really interesting. Yeah, they're finding live fish. You know, the Dead Sea is the lowest place, if I'm not mistaken. It's the lowest place on the earth, one of the lowest places on the earth, if not the lowest. I think it's the lowest. So anyway, that's very interesting to see. And also, somebody else sent me a link to a this strange creature they found down in Mexico. It was, they're calling it like the one in Revelation that talks about the locust that had a head like a man and tiger fit, teeth like a tiger. I don't know, you know, all of that stuff. And they found this 9 or 10 inch, a few of these things. Dead, this kid found it on the side of the road, the one that I saw. And they took it in to a pathologist, and they couldn't figure it. They'd never seen anything like it. It had wings. It was about 10 inches long, and it had body structure like a human. Real skinny, though. Skinnified legs. But the bones were hollow like a bird's, and it had wings on its back. But it had a kind of a gargoyle-looking face on it, and it had, they said, teeth like a lion, similar to a lion's teeth. So, you know, that's something else that they found out there. So I don't know. I don't know what that was. But anyway, we saw a video of it. They say it was real, and they checked it out, and they checked the DNA of it, but the specimen had been in formaldehyde for quite some time, and they couldn't give a DNA report on it. They did say that it was not human-esque, but it wasn't like a mammal either. So I don't know. Just strange stuff happening. And then you've got people that war fixing to break out everywhere. And then all this stuff over here going on. So we're at the end time. We're at the end of the end times that's fixing to start the 7-year tribulation. And that's why God has been hounding, has been telling us day in and day out, get ready, get ready, get ready, you know. Come to me. Seek me with all your heart. That's the word he's been giving us, and to allow him to clean us up, you know. And that's what he's doing. So with that, has anybody else got anything they'd like to share? A word or revelation or dream or vision or testimony or whatever?
I have this scripture I'd like to read that I believe this morning the Lord gave me. 1 Peter 4, starting with verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore of sound mind, and be sober unto prayer. Above all things, being fervent in your love among yourselves, for love covers a multitude of sins. Using hospitality one to another without murmuring, according as each has received a gift, ministering it among yourselves as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speaketh, speaking as it were oracles of God, if any man ministers, ministering as of the strength which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, whose is the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Yep, the Lord is, he's warning us. Come draw nigh unto him. Thank you, Lord. Get rid of any idols in your life. Get rid of all of those things that have hindered you, you know, things that you don't need. My goodness, why do we have to have all this stuff? You know, he wants us lean and clean, you know. He wants us lean and clean so that if we have to move, we can move. We don't have to worry about a thing. Some people have idols of money. Some people have idols of cars. It'd be an idol to you. You just want it. You know, I got to have it. Some people have idols of television. For goodness sake, I don't know why anybody, but that's the truth. That people that just can't stand it not to have that TV blaring all through their house, letting all them demons in there. And then some people have, you know, their house is an idol. You know, just things like that. God wants us lean, and he wants us ready to move if on a moment's notice. And that's, you know, some other things that might be an idol is your spouse could be an idol over and above God. That's another thing, you know. You can't have anything over and above God. If you love anything more than you love God, then that's an idol. What keeps you away from God the most? And that's what he's wanting us to do. He's wanting us to get rid of all of those hindering objects in our life. You know, all of us, you know, a lot of us are working a full-time job, and that's fine. There's going to come a time that he's going to get you out of it, since you're not going to have to work anymore, that you'll be doing the work of God, and he'll take care of you. And I believe that's fixing to happen real soon to a lot of us. And so we just, we're getting ready. As T.D. Jakes once said, get ready, get ready, get ready. All right. Okay, anybody else get a word or a dream or a vision or would like to share something?
Yeah, Michael?
Yeah, Judy, go ahead, girl.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I haven't been on the call for a couple of days because I've been with this chemtrail stuff fighting it. And I just wanted to say that I know the Lord has already healed me. I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. And I thank the Lord for all that he's doing for me. And I'm just praying that he keeps giving me more faith to walk this trial out, because I know that I'm already healed. And I thank him for that. And also, I thank him for taking care of my son, who Satan's trying to send to take me to the doctor. But that's not going to happen, because I know the Lord's taking care of that too. So I praise the Lord for everything that he's doing in me, and I just thank him and thank everybody else for their prayers. Amen.
Amen. We believe with you, Judy.
That, okay.
Thank you, Lord. She's healed and her son is delivered in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Okay, anybody else? Thank you, Lord. Anybody else get a word today?
Yeah, Michael. I just got here, what you've talked about, and the rest of the time I have no idea, but I got Acts 3, verse 7. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. That's what I got this morning.
All right. Yep. He received strength. Praise God. Okay, anybody else? What was that again? What was that reference again, Marlon?
Acts 3, verse 7.
Okay, Acts
3. It was actually kind of between 6 and 7 and 6 was when Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but what I give thee, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.
Okay. Praise God. He saw faith in that man. He and the Lord raised him up. All right, anybody else?
Hello?
Go ahead, Gaino.
I was just going to give the verse that I got this morning, and it was from John chapter 7, verse 36. What is this word that he said? Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am ye cannot come. And that was in the chapter where, you know, they were questioning. So they were seeing what Jesus was doing, but some of them were not really understanding that he was really Jesus. And so they're wondering, well, when Jesus comes, will he do greater things than what this guy is doing? And, you know, and that's why then later he said, you know, they really weren't understanding. And anyway, that's what I got this morning.
Okay, that was a good one. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Anybody else get a word?
I got 144 this afternoon.
All right, that's a good one.
In addition to that, there's cinders falling all around the house here. like I guess it's bark that's partially burned. And in addition, there's clouds developing over there, unfortunately, for the fire.
Amen. Yeah, we've been getting 144 quite a lot around here. 111, 144. And then backwards, 441, you know, kind of interesting. Anybody else?
Hey, Michael?
Yeah, go ahead, Matthew.
Yeah. 111 and 222 all the same day.
Okay. Well, yeah, the 111 is a good one, and one that we've been given and or gotten. 222, 555. Seems to jump up quite a bit. All right. Anybody else?
Your thoughts, Michael, or anybody else's on this one. Years ago, one of the brothers had a dream that President Obama had repented and was out on a raft reading Sovereign God, and I was really enjoying it. And I think at the time, David and some others decided to send him, President Obama, a copy of Sovereign God. Anyway, but in a later, in a vision or something that David read over the air on Sunday night, that showed President Obama like Pharaoh being drowned in the Red Sea and going down to hell. So I guess I'm praying for the better of those two options for him. Because, but do you have anybody else have any revelations or thoughts on this?
Well, I believe that we can pray for him and God will do something, you know. I don't know. We just have to, we know in part and we pray in part, don't we?
Yep.
Okay, well, I read that prophecy too about him reading Sovereign God and being saved. And also ones about him being like Pharaoh and killing the Christians. And then being taken out himself by the Lord. So, you know, we just pray for him. And that's what changes God. I hope he does get prayed. I hope he does get saved. Boy, you talk about a Paul. Now, he'd be a good one, wouldn't he?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Anybody else? Prayer is always, it's a walk of faith. And it's real easy for us to believe in the things that we see and that are obvious. But it's when our test of the faith comes when what we see with our eyes don't line up with what we've asked for in prayer. And then when we get that report or thing you see is exactly opposite to what you had faith for, the question is, do you give up then? Does your faith die when things look impossible? You know, what if you get that bad doctor's report? Do you accept it? Do you believe the doctor, or do you believe God's promises that by his stripes you were healed in 1 Peter 2:24? Then if you choose to believe the doctor, then you've got to live with that bad report. And if you choose not to believe the doctor and go ahead and believe God, that he's already healed you at the cross, then you have the faith to be healed regardless of how bad the thing looks like. You know, this is a challenge that we face as believers, and that's to see if there are ways that we can walk by faith and not by sight, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5:7. God has provided us an Old Testament account of this very thing. We've got promise after promise that God would give his people a land flowing with that milk and honey. Y'all remember the story? That God would deliver the inhabitants of that promised land over to them, God's people. And over in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people that are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Amorite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Now, if God spoke to you, and he promised you that land flowing with milk and honey, the question is, are you going to believe him? Or would you think that he's not big enough to do what he said he'd do for you? Exodus chapter 3 and verse 17 says, and I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. The promise is made by God that he's going to bring them to an inhabited land of all of those outlaws and many others in order to give them the promised land. Leviticus 20 and verse 24 says, but I have said unto you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, who has separated you from the people. You know, time after time, this promise was made to God's people in the Old Testament. Numbers 14:9 says, only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is removed from over them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. So we got this promise from God to his people that he's going to deliver them out of Egypt, that he's going to give them all of this land flowing with milk and honey, and all they had to do was trust God. Remember Moses told him to do, told him to spy out the land in Numbers 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel, Of every tribe of their father shall you send a man, every one a prince among them. And Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the commandments of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. Well, if you'll notice in verse 2 how God said it, it's the land which I give unto the children of Israel. In other words, according to the Lord, it's already a done deal. That promised land was already given to them. The Lord promised it to them. And then he gives a command to God's children. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way by the south, go up into the hill country and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they are strong or weak, whether they are few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it's good or bad, and what cities they are that they dwell in, whether in camps or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it's fat or lean, whether there is wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up, spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, to the entrance of Hamath. Now here comes a report. Okay, they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Man, he was speaking by faith. He knew what the Lord had told him, and he was believing it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, that's the descendants of Anak, came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Well, what was that report that came back to the people? Yeah, it was the land just like the Lord said. Man, it had, it was rich. It was flowing with milk and honey. But boy, I'm going to tell you, they got some big folks over there. They got some giants over there. We can't conquer them, for they're too big. They're too strong for us. We look like grasshoppers in their sight. But what did Caleb do? He tried to steal them. And he said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we're are well able to overcome it. How many of you know that if you got the Lord backing you up, you can overcome anything? Caleb had faith in what God had promised. Caleb and Joshua, that's the only two spies who came back with the good report. They knew that God would keep his promises, and everybody else didn't have a lick of faith in God. Even though they had seen God's hand deliver them out of Egypt by the 10 plagues, by the Red Sea crossing, by the manna from heaven, by the water out of the rock, and yet they still didn't believe what God would do. They believed the bad report. They believed what they saw with their eyes and not the promise of God that was unseen. They walked by sight and not by faith. And God's people reacted to that bad report, didn't they? Numbers 14:1. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried. And the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are bread. They are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. God was mad at them for not believing him, not believing what he said. And instead of entering their promised land in faith for what God had promised them, they walked about in their old carnal fleshly ways, didn't they? What they saw were giants. What they heard was a bad report. And what they felt was fear. They also allowed their intellect and reason to be swayed against God and his promises. After all, how could this little old small number of people defeat such a large number of giants and these well-armed warriors with those fortified cities? Man, what they were looking at was their flesh. They were looking at themselves and the strength instead of God and his strength. And that's what we do a lot of times when we look at these impossible situations or the bad report that comes up before. Whenever we take our eyes off God, we become fearful. And that's because of what we see and what we hear. And because of our intellect, we just know that this situation that we're in becomes hopeless. And instead of having that childlike faith, believing God just like a little child believes his father, and believing God's word, and we have our faith in what's seen or that bad report, right? And what God did. Here's his reaction. Numbers 14:18 said, the Lord is slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the third and upon the fourth generation. Pardon, I pray thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy loving kindness, and according as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but in very deed as I live, and as all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men that have seen my glory and my signs, which I wrought in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet have tempted me these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that despised me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now we can see here that the Lord was not happy with them 10 spies, was he? Those 10 spies that gave that bad report to all of God's children. You know, what happened to the congregation that received that bad report, and they believed it rather than believe God? Well, let's go on. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I here bear with this evil congregation that murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, surely as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your dead bodies shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, that have murmured against me. Surely you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear that I would make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones that you said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have rejected. But as for you, your dead body shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall be wanderers in the wilderness 40 years. And shall bear your whoredoms until your dead bodies be consumed in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which you spied out the land, even 40 days. For every day a year shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years. And ye shall know my alienation. I, the Lord, have spoken. Surely this will I do unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up an evil report against the land, even those men that did bring up an evil report of the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh remained alive of those men that went to spy out the land. That's the only two survivors right there. And Moses told these words unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. Well, you know, the punishment that God gave the Israelites for not believing him or not trusting him was that they weren't allowed to enter into that promised land that God had told them about, had promised it to them and prepared them for it. They'd spend the next 40 years wandering out there in the desert until they all died. Even though God promised them that they wouldn't have this land, they were never allowed to possess it. You know why? Because they chose to believe the bad report instead of God. They believed what they saw with their eyes, what they heard with their ears. And they believed their carnal senses instead of believing God. But you know, Caleb and Joshua followed God to the T. They believed God's promises. And even though they saw them giants too, they went ahead and trusted in their God because they knew he could back up what he said. They'd seen him do it. Galatians 3:11 says, the righteous shall live from faith. Caleb and Joshua lived by faith in what God had promised them. And because they believed God instead of their eyes, they went ahead and were allowed to go into the promised land. They had that good report, and they refused to allow the bad report to waver them even a little bit. Even when the people wanted to stone them. Now, how could these people, just think about it, how could these people be so stiff-necked and unbelieving after all the wondrous miracles of God that they'd already seen, and they still didn't believe his word? How could they be so thick-headed and unbelieving? It don't seem possible that they could be so nearsighted. Well, I want to tell you something. Before we judge these Israelites, we ought to understand that they're no different than most Christians are today. And let me explain why. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, it says, "Now these things happened unto them by way of example, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come." You know, what happened in the Old Testament was to be an example, and it was a teaching for us too. Romans 15 and verse 4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning." We're supposed to be learning from the mistakes the Israelites made out there in the wilderness. But you know, a lot of times we're no different than they are, than they were. They were physical bloodline children of God. And today it's Christians who are the children of God. And it called, you know, the Bible calls us the spiritual Jews, right? Romans 2:28, "For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, he is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter." So now here we are in our new covenant, and there's a change concerning God's children. And it's no longer by that physical bloodline or that little country Israel over there now. It's his children are those who believe and are born again. Romans 9 and 6, "For they are not all Israel who are of Israel." And verse 8, that is, "It is not the children of the flesh that are children of God, but the children of the promise are reckoned for a seed." We are now that spiritual seed through Christ Jesus, that our long-awaited Messiah. He finally came 2,000 years ago. That's the one we look at right now. And just like back then, when they were in that physical wilderness, we as Christians are in a spiritual wilderness with these trials and these tribulations and these things that come up around us in our Christian walk. And we too are trying to enter the promised land where God answers our prayers. The Israelites had a promised land, had a physical promised land where they'd be able to rest and be taken care of by the Lord. And we've got that also. It's not a physical or a geographic land, but it's a spiritual land of rest in what God promises us in his word. Promises like Mark 11:24. You all know it. "All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received them, and you shall have them." And just like Matthew 11:28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This is our promised land. This is the prayer of faith, promising that all things are ours and that we'll receive them if we just believe it's already been given to us. And that's the rest. That's the promised land. Do you really believe God when he says, "Go and possess it"? Go and believe you have received and you will have it. If you don't believe these promises, then we're no different than that bunch of unbelieving Israelites, are we? Here's another promised land for healing from the Lord in 1 Peter 2:24. "By whose stripes you were healed." That's past tense. We were already healed by what Jesus did on the cross. The word says we're now to enter into that promised land of healing by faith. He says, "Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save him that is sick." Shall save him that is sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. "Confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another, that ye may be healed." James 5:14-16. Man, that's our rest. That's the promised land for being healed from all things. And do you believe God when he says, go and possess it? Go and believe that I'm going to heal you, and it will be done. Do you believe it? Are we any different at times than those disobedient children in the wilderness who didn't enter God's rest because of unbelief? I hope we're starting to see what our spiritual promised land is, and that we have to enter into it by faith, just like Caleb and Joshua. In Matthew 18 and 19, it says, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth as touching anything, that they shall ask and shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. That prayer of agreement with another believer is one of the most powerful prayers that you can have. And it's going to be answered by the Father if you just have a little bit of faith. God says to go and possess it. Go and believe my word, and you're going to have it. But if you're doubting and you're not believing God's promises when you read the word, you're no different. We're no different than these unbelieving children in the wilderness who didn't believe God back then. And you can't expect answers to your prayers unless you come into agreement with God's word. And I'm telling you, when you do, it's going to be done for you. You can claim that promise, and you can enter into your promised land. There's a whole lot more promises throughout the Bible that give us many hopes in the Lord. These are promises of rest and trust in the Lord that we see in the Word. These promises are the spiritual promised land for believers. Most Christians are just like the unbelieving Israelites. They never enter into their promised land. They end up wandering aimlessly in a spiritual wilderness until they die before their time. And all these wonderful promises that we see in the Bible are not going to do us a bit of good unless those promises are united by faith. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. For indeed we have had good tidings preached unto us, even as also they. But the word of hearing did not profit them, because it was not united by faith with them that heard. You know, we've heard the good news and all the promises of the Bible, but it don't do a bit of good unless we unite those promises with faith. And the Bible's clear about that. You can only receive the blessings and promises of the Bible if they are united by your faith. And what if you don't see those prayers or promises right away? What does it say in the Word? Well, Hebrews 10 and 23 tells us to let us hold fast the confession of our hope, that it waver not, for he is faithful that promised. In other words, you can't believe what you see in the physical. You got to only believe God's promises, which you see in his word. And you got to hold fast to your prayer and believe that God's going to be faithful to fulfill his promises to you. And Hebrews 11 and 6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing unto him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek after him. You might see an immediate answer to your prayer. You might not see it until later. But just like the scripture says, he says to hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. And you got to remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And if you're going through your life, your wilderness, by the things which you see, you're going to let fear jump all over you, just like the Israelite. And that fear will steal your faith. Any fear in what you're seeing will steal faith from you. Any faith that you had, if you let fear jump on you, it'll steal your faith so quick. Fear in what is seen is also going to cause you to doubt God's word. Just like when the fear of them giants overtook God's children out there in the desert. And then they went ahead and doubted God and his promises. So if you're looking at what you see, or if you're looking at the giants in your land, you're going to be filled with fear, causing you to doubt God's word. That fear's got to go. And you know what Scripture says about doubting when you pray. Over in James chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "But let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. For he that doubteth is like the surge of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man, unstable in all his way." And just as the Israelites doubted God and didn't enter their promised land, you're not either if you walk by sight instead of faith. Numbers 14:11. "Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will this people despise me, and how long will they not believe in me?" Can you imagine the Lord saying this to you when you reject him by not believing his word? And if you're still wandering out there in the desert, that's why. You know, to God, there's nothing more important to him right now than believing him and obeying him. We talked about that earlier. He says, "But my righteous one shall live from faith. And if he shrink back, my soul hath no pleasure in him." When you shrink back in your faith, the Lord ain't happy with us. As believers, we're supposed to be walking by faith in the word of God and not what we see. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen." There ain't nothing more important to the Father than believing him and his word. And God honors those who trust in him. I've seen it happen too many times to not believe it. Jeremiah 39:18. Pamela, could you mute your phone, please? All right. "For I will surely save thee, and thou shalt not fall by the sword, but thy life shall be for a prey unto thee, because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord." And just like when Moses sent out the spies to see the land in which the Lord promised him, your eyes and your ears are the spies for you. Hey, Bill, do you know how to mute your phone?
No, sir.
Okay, I'll mute you. Just hit ** if you want to say something. Okay, I'm almost through. Jeremiah 39:18, "For I will surely save thee, and thou shalt not fall by the sword, but thy life shall be for a prey unto thee, because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord." Praise God. If you think about it, it's your eyes and your ears that report back to you information that's contrary to your prayers. And what's contrary to what the Word of God says, they are the spies that bring back that bad report. So you can't trust them. You have to trust what you know the Word says. And when your eyes look at your body and they see something wrong, and your ears hear that bad report that comes back from the doctor, who are you going to believe? Well, we walk by faith, not by sight, remember? Is your faith in the doctor and his bad report, or God and his promises to heal you? That's the giant right there, and there ain't no denying that. Listen, we're coming to the place in history that you're not going to be able to run to a doctor every time you get to feeling bad. And so why not go into this thing believing God on the outset by faith, believing his word by faith, and knowing and trusting God to fulfill what he said he'd do in his word. Walk into this thing with faith already built up in us, knowing that God's going to back up his word to us. Amen. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to comment on or ask questions about or share?
Yeah, it's like we have tons of clouds, and it looks like there's already rain coming down.
All right, praise God. There you go. Thank you, Lord. We just praise you, Father, for answering our prayers, because we believe. We're a bunch of faith-believing guys and gals. Thank you, Lord. All right.
Yeah, Michael, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, Bill.
You know, the issue I've been dealing with Lisa, and what you said just, you know, struck a chord with me, but in the last few days, I've been talking with the Holy Spirit and God and Jesus, and I said, Lord, I don't doubt anything you say. I mean, you're the God of the impossible. You divided the Red Sea. You rained manna from heaven. You made the Israelites clothes where they wouldn't wear out. Sent down plagues. You made Aaron's rod to bud. You did all these great things. And I've been getting the word from John 14:12, where Jesus says, the works that I do, you will do also. Greater works than these shall you do, because I go into my Father. And it's always kind of bothered me a little what these greater works would be. And I thought, well, perhaps they're creative miracles like in the Old Testament, where maybe Hoover Dam's ready to bust, and you speak to the dam, and here's the water comes, and you can stop it just by faith. I mean, to me, that would qualify like as greater works. I was really racking my brain trying to think what would be greater than raising someone from the dead. And then it occurred to me, you know, Lisa died 13 days ago, and then she was cremated last Wednesday. And I thought to myself, well, that qualifies as a greater works. I mean, even most Christians would say, well, Bill, we've heard of resurrections from the dead, of people have been in the grave for 22 days and they've come back to life. But after cremation, that's just kind of a stretch. But you know what? It's a stretch for them. And I'm here to tell you, Mike, Michael, I don't live in the fantasy world. I have a very sound mind. I've been with the Lord since the 80s. And I've been pleading with God. I said, God, if I'm trying to manipulate your word or believe for something that just isn't so and it can't happen, let me know one way or another. Just tell me. Impart it to me. Show it to me in your word. Show me something. Because of the circumstances of her death, of not wanting to go into hospice against her will, she wanted to live, and suffering so horribly and miserably for 16 months. It just bothers me that this has happened, you know, and nothing good has come from it. And she said she wanted to live and not die. She has a grandbaby. He wants to spend time with. He was just born a few months ago, and she's only got to see it once. She's wanting to see her 17-year-old daughter walk down the aisle in a year or two. She wanted to live. And against her will, against my will, her son and the doctors said this is the best thing for her. Well, I've been pleading with God on this matter day and night. And I said, Lord, just let me know. I mean, if she's with you, and she doesn't want to come back, that's fine. I can accept it. I can live life perfectly fine without her. I'll miss her. I love her. But you know what, Michael? I'm just saying this all. I don't know what y'all out there, I might get some criticism for this. And I've told you before, but my faith is soared to the heights of the pinnacle all the way to heaven in the last couple days, because all I'm getting from God, Jesus and His Holy Spirit is don't give up. Trust in me. You know, Mark 10:27 says, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things, it doesn't matter what, all things are possible. And I actually have the faith. I mean, I'm here to tell you, and it's just not a lovesick, grieving fiance just wanting her back. I mean, I actually believe not only God can do this, but He is going to do it. It's like I got confirmation today I just don't know how to explain it to you. And from what you've been reading or saying in the last half hour or so, I just couldn't keep my mouth shut, and I just had to get it out and just just say it because this is what I believe. I cannot not believe God for anything. And I hear Christians say all the time that scripture, well, with God all things are possible. But do they really, really believe it? I mean, with their heart, or is it just a mental assent kind of thing? So I searched my heart. And I said, God, am I just saying this because I believe your word, or kind of believe your word, or just hoping that, you know, maybe she'll come back? And but you know what? All I'm getting is, don't give up. Believe, and that this is actually going to happen. And I've been using that scripture, I think I pulled here from Psalms 37, 4 and 5, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy ways unto him, and he shall bring it to pass. So I got down on my hands and knees last night, and I said, Lord, I delight in you all the time. And I said, I've committed my ways unto you. And I said, Lord, this is a promise. You promised. And just the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, I've had encounters with the Holy Spirit, but nothing like this. And I can't even explain to you how I felt. It's just, there's no words. But it was like an impartation of saying, Bill, I will do this. It's like when the leper went up and said, Lord, will you cleanse me? And he says, I will. It was that kind of sense that, yes, Bill, I will. Now, I don't know how he's going to do this. It doesn't really matter to me. All of the whatever's involved, the wherewithal of it, he's just going to appear out of the blue and be standing on my front porch. I don't know. But this came to me, too. I've seen three different people in interviews. One of them was Mary Catherine Baxter. And all three of these people said that there's a storeroom of heaven and body parts. And I don't know if this is true or not. I don't find anything in the Word about it, but I don't doubt that God has many things in heaven that we just don't know about. And, yeah, Lisa's a pile of ash. And I'm thinking, this is what I'm getting, that he's not going to reconstruct her from that ash. That ash was a sick, diseased, sinful body. I'm believing he's actually going to reconstruct a whole new Lisa. She'll look the same, but prettier, healthier, and come back because that word I got before she died in Psalms, that I shall live and not die, but declare the works of the Lord. And I taped it on her picture, and it's still there. And then she died, and I said, well, Lord, how's she going to do this now? She's in the pit. She's gone, you know. How can she praise you from the grave? But yet, God's still saying, you know, did you really believe? Do you really believe me, you know, for this, Bill? And I was kind of waning on it, you know, after that happened. And I thought to myself, well, yeah, Lord, I mean, nothing's impossible with you. But then it got down to the nitty-gritty, says, do you believe I will do it? I knew God can do it, but I thought, Jesus is saying, Bill, do you know that I will do it? And I've got to the point, Michael, where I know he will. I know it sounds fantastic. I know it does. But it's, am I going to walk by faith or by sight? Am I going to believe God or man? And I choose God. I simply choose God. I simply choose to trust him and believe him. I don't know what y'all think about this, but this is from my heart, and this is out of the abundance of the heart. The mouth speaks. And I speak God's word all day. I dream God's word. I live for God. He's my all, and I know that he can do things that are just impossible. And it's hard for even a lot of Christians to wrap their minds around this. I don't even dare talk to any of the Christians at work. They're, you know, God bless them. They're Baptist people. They're good people. They believe in the miracles in Jesus' day, and some of them kind of believe today that it can happen. But I don't think they really expect it. But I'm in a mode of expectation beyond belief. It's like you have a ticket and you're getting ready to go on a vacation to Paris, and it's like it's 3 weeks away, and it's like you're just thinking about it. You're just getting packed up, you know, even early, and you just think about it. You know, you just can't wait to go. I'm just using that as an example of someone that might want to go to Paris and be really excited about it. But this is how I'm feeling. I'm expecting this to actually happen. And I'm not even leaving room for doubt to say, well, God, if it doesn't happen, I'll still love you. I'll still trust in you and live my life for you. That's not even an option for me to think that. The Holy Spirit has put it in my mind that this is going to actually happen. Now, I went online and researched this, and I never have heard a case of this before. People have been raised from the dead for centuries in different places, all kinds of stuff on the internet, even dead for, you know, weeks. But never after being cremated. So this may be a first. I mean, my mind and my faith and my belief in God is that strong to actually believe for such a thing. And we're in the last days, and you know, even Joel prophesies he's going to pour his spirit out on all men, and the later rain is going to be greater than the former rain, and all these other scriptures are just coming to my mind. And, I mean, I'm not looking for any notoriety or fame from this, although it may come just because of the miracle, and I think a lot of Christians will doubt it. There'll be a lot of criticism that it's a fraud. You know, I've been thinking this all through as if this is really going to happen, and then what do I do afterwards with all the, you know, a lot of people will believe. But I just had to get this off my chest. I know there's some of you out there that are just, I'm not forlorn in my heart, and I just have to have my fiance back. It ain't nothing like that. It ain't fantasy. It ain't delusion. I'm not deluding myself. I actually believe this, people. I mean, if I'm going to step out in faith and really believe God, I'm going to go for the gusto. And God obviously will get all the glory. This is for Him and Him only. And praise the Lord. That's all I had to say.
Well, that was enough, Bill. And man, I'll tell you what, you up my faith 100%. Listen to me now. You. If people didn't get their faith built up by listening to you, then something's wrong. You need to check yourself. I tell you, my faith has always been that she's going to be raised up. But now, since I heard your testimony and I know where your faith is, my faith is with you, brother. I believe it's going to happen. Now, I'll tell you something else. We're believing for another woman that the Lord gave us untold amounts of scriptures that she was going to be raised from the dead. And we believe it. If I'm not mistaken, I think she was cremated as well. We're still believing that she's going to be coming back. And so, brother, I'm with you. I believe God can do anything. He can make her out of whatever. He can just speak the word and she'll come back in the flesh. So, you know, God can do anything. Is it? Anybody else want to comment on what Bill's testimony was about?
I just want to say amen.
Amen is right. So be it. That's the way it's going to happen. I believe it too. I believe it. You can't put God in the box. And I'll tell you something. Bill and I, and probably some more of you, are believing with him for this to happen. Some of you are struggling with little sicknesses and you can't believe God for. This ought to up your faith to believe God for all of these things, for everything. Believe God for a new pair of shoes if you need them. Believe God for anything that you need. You know, I just believe, I'll tell you this, folks, since I've been here in Tennessee, I don't have a whole lot of money. I don't have much money at all. But I can tell you this, God has placed money in my billfold every time that I've needed it, and sometimes a whole lot more than I needed without anybody giving it to me. He has multiplied it in my billfold numerous times. So, you know, God can do anything. He can do it. He can bring people back to life. And like Bill said, he can do a new thing. He can bring somebody back that's been cremated. And I'm looking for him to do two people like that. Lisa and another lady that we've been praying for. So, praise God. I believe it, and I don't sell him short of anything. And y'all shouldn't either. We ought to go into that promised land and claim it, just like Caleb and Joshua did. Every day we have something comes up that we can believe God for. Listen, if you go around, like Bill was talking about, if you run after God with all your heart and your whole day is saturated in God, you'll have faith. I guarantee you, you'll have faith. You can't be listening to other people that don't have faith. You can't be listening to other preachers that don't have faith. You can't be listening to the television and think you're going to get faith by osmosis. It ain't going to happen. It comes by reading and studying the Word of God and praying and believing God. That's how it comes. It comes by running after God with all your heart. The Lord said, listen to this. He said, the faith the size of a mustard seed would move a mountain out to the sea. Think about it. It don't take just a little bit of faith to move a mountain, God's telling us. What's that mountain in your life? God can move it. All you got to do is, just like Bill, believe. Just wrap your arms around God and go for it. And I guarantee you, He'll never let you down. He'll never let you down. It's when that doubt and that unbelief and that fear come in. Fear takes away faith. You know that, don't you? Fear takes faith completely out of you. Well, I just don't know what'll happen if this happens or that happens. I'll tell you this much. 450,000 people died last year from the doctor's mistake. Now, you'd rather put your life in his hands or you'd rather put your life in God's hands? Now, I know there's some good doctors out there. Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking bad about doctors, but I'm just telling you. God, Jesus is the healer. The doctors are practicing. They're practicing pharmakia. They're giving you medicine. Who was it? We had a lady call us today that she had had a staph infection of some sort. And they just filled her up with antibiotics. Well, you know what they did? The antibiotics killed her liver. Now she's got to believe God for her liver. I'll tell you, hopefully she'll come on and give her testimony. So you can see that all they can do is shift the curse around. They can't heal you. If they're honest, if a doctor is honest, he'll tell you that he cannot heal you. All he can do is shift that curse around. All we have to do is believe God when we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God's going to do it. And when you get a brother or sister to pray with you, that's powerful. Oh, that's powerful. You come in here to this conference call, I'm telling you something now. You got some prayers going up to God to count to God. There's righteous people in this conference call, and their prayers count with God. Not that yours don't. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is when two or more gather together in His name, whoo, my goodness, y'all, that's some power. That's some praying power. I told y'all about that friend of mine that went up to see God in heaven. We were praying for his wife. And God, he said, I see Jesus sitting on the throne. Some of you heard it, some of you haven't. I'm going to tell it again. Sitting on the throne. He said, Michael, I can see her. We were talking, we were in real time here. He said, God took him to heaven. He called me up and said, I'm in heaven. I said, get out of here. He said, yeah, no, I'm in heaven. He said, I see Jesus. I said, what's he doing? He said, he's sitting in his throne and he's bending forward and he's looking down to earth. I said, what's he seeing? He said, I see these little lights coming up. Said they look like maybe like roses or neon roses coming up. He said, a little bitty one. I said, yeah. He said, yeah. He said, hey, guess what? I can see Jesus smiling. I said, you can. He said, yeah, I don't know how I can do it, but I'm right behind him and I can see him smiling. I said, how you do that? He said, I don't know, but I can do it. I'm looking at him. And he said, well, wait a minute. He said, those lights that are coming up, they're not roses. He said, it says Marilyn on them. It's a light that says Marilyn. That's his wife's name. I said, that's the prayers of the saints coming up, buddy. And there were just thousands of them coming up, thousands of them coming up. They had, the doctors had diagnosed her with some kind of rare disease that she was going to die in 6 weeks. They didn't have no cure for it. And both of them said, no, that ain't going to happen. God's going to deliver her. And then they called me, and I called the people that I knew. We got a prayer going up to them. And she walked out of there just a few days later. Never had a problem with it. That was God. That was God. That's the prayers of righteous people praying. God answers them. So don't ever think that God's not hearing your prayers. He hears your prayers when you say them. Just be sure that you're obeying God in everything that you do. You know, if you're doing everything you know to do, you're accounted righteous in God's eyes. You are accounted as righteous in God's eyes. And what did he say about righteous people? He said, the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. They count a lot for God. So don't think for 1 minute that God can't deliver you out of the circumstances that come up before you. Those trials are for one thing and one thing only. That's to test your faith. If you're a Christian and you're in right standing with God, it's to test your faith. And if you don't, overcome, guess what? It's going to come back around. It'll come back around. You can bet your life on it. So why not go ahead and take care of that right now with God? Let God take care of everything that you need, these circumstances. We got children that are acting silly, you know, out there in the world. And they, you know, I've got one son, one grandson that just got out of prison. I've been praying for that boy ever since he was little. And God's bringing him around. God's bringing him around. I'm seeing fruit. It's in God's times, you know. God takes people through a lot of things in order for them to be a good witness for him. But we just have to stand in faith and believe, endure in our faith to the end. And the end is the manifestation of what we're praying for. Amen. All right, has anybody got anything they'd like to share? And I'm going to make a disclaimer here. If your faith is in doctors, you better go to the doctors. Don't do this out of law thinking, well, what are people going to think? If I go to a doctor, well, you know, you're putting your life in your hands. It's the faith that God's looking for, not the law of, I have to go. I have to go because they're watching me. No, you got to have the faith to go, and you need to ask God for it if you don't have it. And he said, if you ask anything in my name, you shall have it. John 14. That's all you got to do. Just ask God. He'll give it to you. Ask, seek, and knock, and you'll get the answer. Amen. All right. Anybody Amen. Else?
Michael, this is Judy.
Yeah,
well,
Judy.
You got me roared up here. Boy, this is really helping me. I'll tell you.
Amen.
I'm so excited, yeah. And I just a few minutes ago, my granddaughter called me, and she was crying. And she said, will you please, please go to the doctor? I said, Emily, I am fine. Look at me. I am fine. And, you know, and she just kept going on. And finally, I said, I want to tell you something. God sent me to Tennessee, and I am the best place that I can ever be, and he is taking care of me. And she quit crying, and she started, like, you know, just thinking about it. And so I praise the Lord that I'm healed, and everybody that's going to really believe in God and love God, we are healed 2,000 years ago. Thank you, Lord. And thank you, Bill, for your testimony, too.
Well, that was an awesome testimony. Yeah, thank you, Judy. Yours was, too, sister. Amen. All right, anybody else?
I just wanted to add real quickly, Michael.
Yeah, go ahead.
Like most Christians, they say they have faith to believe and whatever, and I did too for years, and it seems like whatever the challenge was, faith to me is like a muscle, and I've been really challenged, and I've been weightlifting. I've been exercising my faith. And I have to admit, it was more of a mental thing because I wanted to believe. But I actually have come to the point where it's not just in my mind, it's in my heart. And I actually believe. I mean, I really do. God is the God of the impossible. And like you said, I can't put him in a box. I can't limit myself and my mind of what he can and cannot do. He's almighty. He's awesome. So I just come to the point to where it's built up that much where I actually believe this with all my heart. And not this will help anybody, but it's helped me. And I didn't have much help except from you and a few other people, because most people I talk to just roll their eyes when I mention this. They just think that I'm so grief-stricken that I've lost my mind, or, you know, they just have their own reason. I don't know really what they think, but I know they don't believe with me. But it's a thing that you have to exercise, that you have to keep strong and walk in the Lord and fully, with your whole heart, trust him. And these things will come to pass. And I've reached the point of that. I praise God that I have the faith to believe in him for such things. And that's all I wanted to add.
All right. That's a good end cap to tonight's faith message. Praise God. I just praise God for everybody in here, because I know all of you have faith, and great and bold faith, because we've had so many prayers answered. So many prayers answered. Small prayers and big prayers too. And I just praise you, Lord, for doing that for us. Lord, I just thank you that you're instilling in each one of us faith, Lord, to believe what your promises say and to trust you, Lord, to believe that you're going to do what your word says. And Father, we just praise you for your word that you've placed in our hearts, Lord. We can fall back on these things when somebody says, well, you can't believe that because the doctor said this and the doctor said that. Lord, we just know that you're more true than what the doctor said. They don't know you, Lord. And we just thank you that you are our rock, that cleft of the rock that you've placed us in, Lord. And we praise you for helping us out, Father, in those trials and those tribulations that come upon us, and giving us that bold faith to believe you above and beyond anything that anybody could ever imagine. Lord, we thank you for all the miracles that you've done and all the miracles you're going to do. And we just praise you, Lord, and thank you that tonight we're going to get a good night's sleep, and we're going to rest, because we know you're on the throne and you've got us in your hands, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, saints, and God bless you.